That man, whoever he was, asked a vital question, didn't he? The question was, are there few who are saved? Are there few who are saved? And the moment you hear that question, it makes you realize that people can be saved and lost. Okay? The thought here is that people can be saved and lost. And when the Bible uses the word lost, by the way, it never means misplaced. I've lost my keys or I've lost my glasses. It doesn't mean that. The word lost means ruined or perishing. Okay? So what lies behind this question? Are there few who are saved? He's asking, how many's souls will be saved and how many people will be ruined for eternity? That's what he's asking. I wonder what made him think about that question. It might have been probably something our Lord just said. Maybe in the back of his mind was the time of the great flood, when only 8 people out of a whole world were saved and all the others perished. Maybe these thoughts were in his mind. In the great flood, few were saved, only 8. Will it be like that at the end of this world? How many? But you know, I'm quite sure that man, I don't think that he was just thinking about the numbers, was he? Surely he was thinking about himself, wasn't he? Perhaps he was asking the question, what's the chance of me being saved? But certainly inside that question, are there few who are saved? The question hidden inside that is, what about me? What about me? Will I be saved or will I be lost? And don't you agree with me that is a vital question? Do you not believe, do you not agree with me that question is probably the most important question that you or I could ever ask? And we need an answer. We need an answer to that question. Lord, are there few who are saved? We need an answer to the question, Lord, will I be saved? Am I going to be saved? That's what we need an answer to. Now, if you have the passage open, you'll realize that the word, he knew, the man, and Christ knew what it meant to be saved. And he also knew what it meant to be lost. In verse 28, when Jesus speaks to them, he talks about being in the kingdom of God. That's one way of talking about being saved. He says, you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets, you will see them in the kingdom of God. And that's a way of saying, you will see them saved. But then he says, and this is the meaning of being lost. He says, and you yourselves, he's talking to the crowd, thrust out. You see, to be lost is to be thrust out of the kingdom of God. I'm sure you understand that what is being talked about in this passage is what we would describe as heaven and hell. Heaven and hell. And in verse 28, these words are terrible words. He says, there will be weeping, lamenting, and grinding of teeth. And this grinding of teeth is an expression of the anguish, the torment, the regret, the misery of those who are thrust out of the kingdom of God. In other words, those who are in hell. That's what it's talking about. Unbearable anguish and torment, so that a person is reduced to weeping and grinding their teeth. The Lord Jesus is not mincing his words. Now, let me say to you, there are lots of people around you who will say to you, they will say, oh, now listen, there's no such thing. You don't have to worry about all this. You see, there are people around you who will say, listen, you don't need to worry about what that minister's saying this morning. There's no such thing as heaven and hell. They'll say to you, we're just another animal kind. You know, just as your pet dog dies and that's the end, just as your pet cat dies and that's the end, we're just like that. But the Bible says, no, you're not just like that. You have an immortal soul. Your existence from the time you were created, as it were, in the womb, is an immortal existence. And you do have to think about eternity. You do have to know the answer to this question. Not just, are there few who will be saved? But that question, am I one of those few? You need to, because your existence will go on. When you die, that is not the end of you. Your soul goes on. The time will come, even when your body is raised from the dead. You will be brought before God. You will enter eternity. I will enter eternity. We have to settle eternity. That's what the Bible is saying. It says it everywhere. It appeals to men to think about eternity and their own souls. It talks about losing your own soul. This is how the Bible speaks. No, you have an eternal soul, and each person needs to be sure about their eternity. That's the message. Some people will say to you, you don't have to worry about this because all go to heaven. How many times have you been to a funeral of someone who never knew the Lord Jesus? And we're being told, peace, peace, all will be well after death. I tell you, that is a lie. It is a fantasy. It is not true. It is not true that everyone goes to heaven. It is not true. It's just not. But the world is fed these lies. Either don't think about it, just go along to your doctor and prolong your life. Just don't think about eternity. Either that or all will be well. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And I turn to this question this morning because I say to you, isn't this an important question? Is it not? Is it not important, the question, where will you spend eternity? Is that question not vital? Will your eternity be one of joy or misery? Will your eternity be one where you are with God and with Jesus Christ and with the angels, the holy angels, and with his saints? Will it be that? Or will it be one where you are sent away, where Satan is, and the fallen angels, and those who have hated God and never turned to his Son? This question is important. Let me say this. This question is so important that when the Son of God came into this world, right, he was given the name of Savior. Right? The question, are there few who will be saved? The word saved, our Lord, the Son of God, was named Jesus, which means Savior. And he said on more than one occasion, we heard it on Wednesday, the Son of Man himself has come, listen, to seek and to save that which is lost. The very mission of Christ in this world was to save, salvation. So I say to you, is this not the most important question for your own good? Does it not reflect the very point that Christ came for? His name is in it. Can I say anything more to say this is a question that you and I have to reckon with it? I can say to you, that as a young boy, I faced this question myself. I dealt with this question and I settled my eternity. And some of you are young, and I tell you, if you're young, now is the time to settle the answer to this question. Do not leave it. But if you are old and you may not have long left in this world, then it is all the more important to settle this question. Are there few who will be saved? Am I saved? Will I be saved? Well, I want you to notice briefly this morning the answer that Jesus gave. And you'll notice he didn't just reply to the man who asked the question. Did you see that? He said to them all, he said, "This is my answer." So what is Jesus' answer to this question? First, he says to them, strive. Strive to enter. The word strive means wrestle. Literally, it sounds like our word agonize. Wrestle to enter. And that word suggests that to enter the kingdom of heaven involves a fight. Or, to make it more general, it's not an easy thing. It's a hard thing. Jesus begins straight away by saying to the crowd, don't think it's easy to enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to wrestle to do it. And he describes it in verse 24. Did you notice he describes the entrance to life as a narrow gate? A narrow gate. Now, in Matthew's gospel, he spoke about this narrow gate. Again, let me read it to you. He says this. These are Jesus' words. Listen, he says, enter, he means enter the kingdom, enter life, by the narrow gate. Same thing, why? Because he says, wide is the way, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The Lord Jesus was not pretending. It's as if he says to them, I want you to understand that there is a road in life. It's a wide road, and you'll find crowds going down the wide road. The majority will be going down the wide road. Why? Because it's easy. It's a motorway. You can speed down the wide road, but the end of it is the pit. This road runs out and you find yourself destroyed. But he says, but there is another way. And this is a difficult way. This is a narrow way. And there are not many people who want to take that way. But he says, but that's the way that leads to life. I want you to see this morning that Jesus is urging men and women to take the difficult road. There is a narrow way. And I say to you that the road you choose, this is the most important business of life. I can't stress that enough this morning. You know, in a lifetime, we worry about our education, we worry about our job, our family, all these things. None of those things matter as much as being in the narrow way. None of them. None of those things matter as much as finding Jesus Christ and eternal life. So Jesus, first of all, says to them, you need to put your backs into this. You need to fight to enter that narrow way. You need to be prepared to take the difficult path. But it leads to life. He's talking about the path that he's led. That's the first thing. Secondly, he says to them, and you must understand that the time of opportunity is short. You see, he wants them to understand that the opportunity, as it were, to be saved, the opportunity to enter that gate is not forever. You see, in verse 25, he warns them, he says, listen, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut
the door. And you begin to stand outside. Can you see what he's saying to them? Don't make this mistake. The day will come when God will shut the door. And that's not the time to begin to ask to enter. The time to ask to enter, the time to strive, is before God shuts the door. In other words, he's saying to them, you must understand that this is an urgent matter in life. Once he has shut the door, then you begin, he's warning them, then you'll begin to stand outside, Lord, open to us. I never knew you. The time to find Christ, the time to ask for life is now. The Bible tells us quite plainly, you do not know, I do not know when Jesus Christ will return. We don't. But the Bible says, but he will come like a thief in the night. And many will be found out. And the Bible also says to us, you don't know the day or the hour when you will die. God knows, but you don't. But when Christ returns, that is too late. When you die, it is too late. And there may be other things in life which will take you away from the preaching of the Word of God, and in the providence of God, he may close the door. And the Lord Jesus knows this, and he's saying to them, really, his message is, don't wait till the door is closed. What a foolish man it is who, as it were, waits and delays, and then the opportunity is gone. Then the call stops. Then the door is closed, and it's too late. So that's the second thing. He says, come on, strive. Secondly, don't wait. And thirdly, and within all of this, the reason why that man asked the question and the reason why Christ answered it is this. There is a way of salvation. There is a way of escape from judgment and hell. You see, the Lord Jesus speaks about a gate, and he's saying at the moment the gate is open. It's open. He's referring obliquely that there is a way of escape, there is a way of salvation. Now there is. And I want to close this morning by asking this question to you. Many of you know the answer, but let me ask it anyway. Do you know how a man is saved? Do you know how a soul escapes hell? Do you know that? When you go home today, can you go home saying, well, one thing's for sure, I know how a man is saved. Let me say to you, in the briefest terms, the answer to that question, how is a person saved? The answer to that question is Jesus. He is the Savior. And no one can save himself. No one can save himself. Let me put it as bluntly as I can. Either you belong to Jesus, body and soul, or you're lost. There is no other position. You are either his or you are not. And if you are not, your soul is in eternal peril. Danger. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. Paul speaks like this. He says, the message of the cross. It's the message of the cross that is, as it were, the message of salvation. To some, the message of the cross is foolishness. To others, the message of the cross is weakness. But he says to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
What does Paul want you to know? He wants you to know that Calvary was God's mighty instrument to save sinners, lost souls who turn to Christ and come to his cross. That is how they are saved. Why is this? They're saved because Jesus came as a substitute to take the place of sinners, so that the punishment of God for their sins would fall upon him and not them. God is a just God. He will not punish sins twice. And if you are in Christ and he has taken, as it were, your sins and put them on Christ and punished them in him, then you will not be punished. That is it. It's called the great transaction or the great exchange. Lord, take my filthy clothes away from me and give me your robes of righteousness. Now I tell you that it is the cross of Christ which is the instrument to deliver sinners from hell. That's what it is. And the answer, are there few saved? The answer is, those who come to Christ, those who come to the cross, they will be saved. He came to seek and save those who are lost. That's why he came. And if you ask the question this morning, am I one who is saved? I ask you, do you belong to Jesus? Is the Savior your Savior? Have you come to the cross? We sang about this morning. David realized he was a sinner. He says, Lord, as long as I shut up, as long as I kept it inside me, as long as I did not say to you, I have transgressed, then my bones grew old. David is telling you, I was destroying myself because I would not face my sins. I would not confess. But he said, then, I confessed. And Lord, you pardoned all my sin. You pardoned all my sin. What a sentence. What a sentence. Can you say that this morning? Lord, I confessed and you pardoned all my sin. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he's talking about salvation. And he says to them, this is a man who would have given his own soul up if it meant the salvation of his brothers and sisters. He wanted their salvation so much. And he said to them in his letter, he said, do you understand, don't you? God has sent preachers. And they bring a message that you must hear and believe. And when you hear and believe the preaching of the gospel, that is the way that God saves you. Listen, he says this. Let me read it to you. Find the right verse. Let me listen. He says, this is the word of faith that we preach. Listen to these words. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. In other words, we'll come to it now. You will be saved, he says. Do you understand that? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Lord, the Savior, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You know, when God raised Christ from the dead, he gave you proof that the cross was effective. The resurrection was God's signature to you. I accept my son's death. Paul says, if you believe this, you will be saved. Listen, let me read on to you a moment. He says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.
Right? What do you think he's thinking about? When will a man be put to shame? I'll tell you when. When he stands before the judge of all the earth and the books are opened and the secrets of his heart are revealed. Then he will be ashamed. But not if he believes on Jesus Christ. He says again, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul is writing this because he's wanting to urge men and women. It's time for you to call on the name of the Lord. What's he mean? He means to come and to ask him to deliver you, to acknowledge him as your Lord and your Savior, to close with Christ. Do you know, when Jesus was crucified, you know that there were two criminals crucified either side, weren't there? Two criminals. And they were there about to breathe their last and to go into eternity. One of the amazing things in the life of those two men is they were crucified next to the Saviour. One of them went to hell. The other one went to be with Jesus in paradise. That's what happened. One perished, one lived. Why did he live? Because he turned to the Lord and he called upon him. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He actually says, Lord, remember me whenever it is that you might come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. The Bible says Jesus died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Are you Jesus's? Will he bring you to God or not? Where are you? Where's your soul today? Where will your soul be in eternity? Are there few that will be saved? The question, as far as we're concerned, is, am I saved? Am I saved? That's the question. Am I saved? May God grant us grace to be found in Christ and safe at the last. Amen.